What is the bicycle going to power?
We're going to plug a little motor onto that piece of wood by the back wheel. And the bicycle, when it goes round, it's going to make the motor go round. But it's using the motor backwards, so it's using it as a generator. It's going to generate about 14 to 20 volts, which is going to go into the DC to DC converter, which then is going to be converted into AC power, and then it's going to power that electric spinning wheel there.
This is the DC to DC converter. So basically, when you're creating power from a motor as a generator with a bicycle, it's very regular voltage, like it fluctuates a lot. So if it went straight into the inverter, it might blow it, or the inverter would get confused. So this has an input and an output, and it just smooths out all the power. So when it comes out of here, it's just a smooth stream of volts. And all these little resistors are doing that.
Who made this?
So this is from RS Components. Costs about £90. It is a SDC 60/15-20 step-down converter, DC to DC.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a versatile switching regulator with a simple adjustable stabilised output from the DCC.
And will anyone who comes along be able to go on the bike and power the whole thing?
So long as they got long enough legs, because Terry gave us this bike and he's got very long legs, so it's nice because it's got books on.
And you've got a pedometer on there?
Yeah.
So you're going to have... And the little boards in the office are for collecting data from the pedometer and from the spinning wheels.
Yes, and we've also got this multimeter, which is going to test voltage in all the machines. So we've also got an extension cable there, which we're going to plug things into so we can monitor how much power we're using up by making the tunes, how much that costs, how much the sewing machine is using. We're just going to work everything out. And then same with the spinning wheels, the old spinning wheels, when they're pedalling, they'll have a pedometer on, so then we'll work out how far they've gone, how many calories they've used. This is an electric spinning wheel, which my dad has made. This is the old spindle off my old spinning wheel, which fell apart. I just spun it to death. But I've saved these parts off it. And then Dad's turned me some other little wooden cogs here, which are all connected with elastic bands, to an old sewing machine motor, which is off the sewing machine that I had, which also fell apart. So it's very noisy because it's a sewing machine motor, plus it rattles a lot with these wooden, like handmade wooden cogs. But it does spin. So we're going to do this for novelty value. We call it Mrs. Odysseus 001. It's a prototype. So it's not the smoothest way to spin, but it's really fun. But we've got another spinning wheel over there, which is a proper Ashford electric spinning wheel, and that will probably power that with it more, because that's very smooth. We can get more work done with that. Now, these spinning wheels are brilliant, because they actually run off DC, so you could run this off like a 12-volt battery. So they're really good for like caravan holidays and stuff like that. And they're also really good if you've got back problems or no legs. Because when I use that machine a lot, I use it a lot, the old-fashioned spinning wheel, and it's pulled my back out before because it's slightly lopsided and the deportment's a bit funny. But with this electric spinning wheel, because if you make it so that you're standing, you can just move more at the same time because you can dance while you're doing it, and just, you know, it cuts down on the repetitive strain injury.
The wool goes through there, through the orifice. Is that the orifice?
Yeah, that's the orifice. Yeah. Comes through there, through this hole, and then along these little hooks. So these hooks, so you've got the bobbin here, and then these hooks determine where the wool is being wound onto the bobbin.
Exactly the same as on a traditional spinning wheel.
So that you just neaten it up a little bit. And then it's brilliant. It's just got this dial here with the speed. So you just switch it on, turn it up to the speed you want, and then you've got reverse.
So this is a way of getting a completely regular pace on your spinning.
Yeah. This wool is in Hessian sacks. It's called Prick Your Fingers Fleece Orbit from the M25. And we've gone around the M25, within the M25, to a city farms and collected fleece that would have otherwise gone to landfill. Because a city farm, they can't really get it spun because it's really expensive getting stuff spun and you've got to have a market for it. So some of this is from Mudchute City Farm, and then some of this is from Roger, who's washed the fleece. And so yeah, it's just been lightly washed, so it's still got a bit of lanolin in, but it's not really sticky and it's not full of poo, so it's quite safe for us to use. And we've got a white fleece and a grey fleece and a black fleece.
Do we know what kind of sheep breeds they're from? This is from
Oxford Down, I think.
Is this from Mudsheep?
Yeah.
So there might be some white-faced woodland in here
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Very rare sheep.
Yeah. And then this is Romney. We're starting up pom-pom production because part of what we want to do this week, we've got a lot of this surplus carpet yarn, which is from a carpet factory up north which closed down. It doesn't sell very well because it's a very rough yarn and no one wants to knit carpets or weave carpets so much. But it works really well if you ply it into 6-ply and make it into a really chunky yarn and then put pom-poms all over it so it's got lots of texture. And then it's really good. You can just whip up a cushion really easily on some big needles. So that seems to sell really well. So what we're going to do is these big cones of carpet yarn, which are all in different colours, we're going to have them up on the ceiling, well, a bit higher up in the building, so they're on rollers going through the ceiling. And then the threads are going to come down and go straight into maybe that Ashford spinner or the one that Dad made. We'll just see. Or even the hand machines, one of them anyway, just ply it up. And that plying like that is a really good way to learn the spinning wheel because you don't have to spin the fibre so much, but you can get going with the rhythm. Yeah. So this is the pom-pom production going on here.
Wow, so you've got pom-poms, carpet yarn, you've got these fleeces. So there's a lot of unwanted materials that finding a way of using them all.
Yeah, so this is the office where we're going to collect all the data. So things will get weighed in here. When people have finished making yarn, they'll weigh in how much they've made.
Productivity gets measured.
Yes, that's it. But then we have lots of clipboards with different things on. So we'll show you that. We've got a workers' contract, which basically explains what the philosophy is behind our mill and what's expected of the worker. And then we've got a clocking in and clocking out sheet. And then these are clipboards for the different machines, so that people can, they take, when they go to a machine, they take a sheet, and then they, so say on the spinning wheel, you do the time spent spinning, calories used, velocity pedometer reading, and then please rate your frustration as a percentage, because that's really important, whether people enjoy working on the machine or not. And we want people to document their thoughts during carding. Was this machine conducive to daydreaming? How much they've done?
What does it say there?
They're assessing his ability to aid peaceful transcendentalism. Your help is greatly appreciated in this matter. Our contract's quite good. We've got lots of things like, I hereby agree that work in this mill is of exchangeable value to be negotiated. Because most of what we're doing is just working out the value of what we're doing. That's a lot. Like, we're going to be projecting ticker from the stock exchange to try and work out how our yarn is being priced compared to the rest of the world's wool. Prick Your Finger encourages a refreshment interval every 30 minutes and expects workers to practice expressive movement during this period. Prick Your Finger expects workers to take psychogeographical trips when needed. We've missed off some bits off the end of the thing. Job title, in case of accident, please contact, and that's Jackie upstairs. She's health and safety. She's got a first aid kit. Number 6, pensions. Craft is for life, and this is where you start paying. Number 7, Prick Your Finger requires 30 seconds notice to be given to you, the worker, on leaving the mill. Number 8, Prick Your Finger Mill Workers Union will be formed when the time is right. And then they sign and tick to agree the above statement.
Brilliant. So this is, there's a whole like philosophy here about labour and craft and the value of craft.
Yeah.
So I decided that I would card some of the white wool from Mudsheep.
Yeah.
This is the drum carding machine. And it's basically a huge comb, but it's called the drum carder because the combs are kind of on drums. So these are big cylindrical shapes with lots of little metal combs, like, coming out of them. And there's two of them, and they roll together. So as you turn this handle, this handle's turning the big drum. And it's turning around, and as it does that, it turns the little drum. And as the little drum goes around, it pulls in the fleece that you've laid out already. So it's sucking it in. And as it sucks it in, the big drum eats it with all its little teeth. And as they brush together, it's combing it. So all your fibres are straight. But you have to do this before you spin, because the more your fibres are brushed, the smoother your yarn will be.